take a warning and keep you quiet.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to our services. Have a great day and enjoy.
I'll hand it to Steve.
Thank you. Thank you, Alec. Just a few notices. First of all, you might have seen some pictures on there. Just wanted to show you those. There's a verse in Psalm 19 which says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies became the work of his hand." And you might have seen those images from the Hubble telescope. One of them is fairly recent. It's called The Hand of God, interestingly enough. And the other one is of a cross. And there are lots of images you can get from Hubble, which I'm not going to make too much of that, but they're incredibly powerful images and maybe kind of declare the handiwork of God, as it says in Psalm 19, to welcome the young people. Well, they've already been welcomed, but to hand over to the young people for our service this morning. Thank you.
The first story we're going to do is Sammy and Elliot, so I hope you enjoy. These days, not many people seem to get dreams or visions from God, nor hear him speak. But this story is different. Sammy is in the temple under the supervision of Elliot, the youth worker.
What do you want?
You called me.
No, I didn't. Why would I call you in the middle of the night? I mean, it just wastes credit. Go back to sleep.
Everyone goes back to sleep and all is quiet until...
Oh, strange. It says Sammy. It must be Elliot. I'll text him. How strange. Ha, he wakes me up and he won't text me back. I'll go have to get out of my lovely warm bed and wait.
Wake up!
Oh, why did you wake me up?
You called me. Why?
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. Look.
But it wasn't me. Oh, I know. Next time... Sit up in bed and say, "What's up, Lord? I'm listening."
Everything was quiet in the house. Nothing stirred, not even a mouse.
Sambo! Sambo!
Oh, it's the snooze button.
Sambo! Sambo!
Why is the snooze button? What's up, Lord? I'm listening.
I'm warning you.
And so after a few false starts, Sammy heard God's message. His challenge was to honestly and fully pass on the bad news to Elliot. And what about you? Are you listening for God's voice? Or are you distracted with the latest technology? Are you obeying his word? Or are you also headed for the internal naughty step? What about your friends? Are you ready to pass on God's message? Sammy did, so we can too.
Clapping in church, oh my goodness. Well, our drama was based on the story of Samuel, which you can find in the Bible, and he was looked after by Eli. Eli was an old man in the Bible version story, and so maybe his hearing was starting to go, his eyesight was starting to go. But our story, we didn't have old age getting in the way of hearing God's voice. For Sammy, it was technology that was distracting him. But God didn't stop. God kept calling Sammy, even when he didn't hear him the first and second time. That's a nice story, isn't it? So, should we move on? I think maybe there's something in that story for us as well. It's not just a nice story from the Bible. But it's time to just stop and think for a few minutes. Have a think of the people we know, the way that Sammy and Elliot knew each other. Maybe we want to think about the people that are in our classes at school, or in brownies, or football with us, or people we work with, or our neighbours. Maybe we use technology to be useful in this situation. Look at the contacts list in your phone, if you're old enough to have a phone, and look at all those people there. And perhaps just spend a couple of minutes just quietly thinking, who is it that God wants me to talk to, or be with, or spend time with, or give a hug to, or smile at, or be kind to. There's lots of different ways that God wants to talk to people, but who is it that he wants us to talk to? But we're going to move on now to another drama and some songs, and the collection will be part of this drama as well. So enjoy the next part of our service.
A long time ago, a family of brothers and sisters were auditioning for Kanan's Got Talent. The judges were Stephen Meow and Gary Barlow. And now for the shepherds! This is where it all started. In their spare time, the shepherds sang together. Here they are, the shepherds!
Who are you and where did you come from?
We are the shepherds from Canaan.
What are you going to sing for us today?
Amazing Grace.
And now let's hear from the judges!
Okay, but something about your harmony. Let's be honest, you were all terrible. Out of tune, out of time, just horrendous. Except from you, Joe.
Although on stage the family looked happy for Joe's talent to be recognised, backstage, there was a lot of tension between them.
Oh, it's all your fault for not practising.
If you only had the music properly.
Yeah, Joe, if you hadn't been showing off your singing, then we would have thought they were all good.
Yeah, if you're so good, why don't you sing on your own?
Yeah, right, show off.
Yeah, if you're such a star, go and sing somewhere else.
The brothers made it clear that Joe was no longer welcome in the family and sent him back packing, all apart from Reuben, who wanted to say something nice to Joe but felt overwhelmed by all the other siblings. Joe has no one, all alone in the world, no money, no friends, no hope, apart from his music. He played and sung wherever he went, bringing hope and joy to others with his music. We find Joe busking on the banks of the River Jordan.
I am from GI6, that is God's Intelligence Section 6. We've been watching you, Joe. We've heard your prayers. We've heard you asking for help. So here we are. I'm here to tell you that we are going to give you a concert at the Albert Hall.
Wow, thanks.
We noticed that you listened to God. When you were a shepherd, you told people how he loved them, even when your family hurt you, they pushed you away. We saw how you used your God-given talents to make other people happy. We saw that you carried on, even in the hard times.
Wow, thanks again.
Come on, let's go to the Albert Hall.
While Joe had been down and out and struggling to make ends meet, his brothers had got on with their farming, but they had been ashamed of their behaviour towards Joe. So had lied to their father, saying that Joe had been mugged and killed while they'd been in the city. Their father had been devastated and never stopped mourning the loss of Joe. We catch up with Joe again, backstage after his Albert Hall gig.
That was so much fun. I can hardly believe all those people wanted to hear my songs.
Well, God gave you a wonderful talent, and you worked really hard to give it your best. You've used your gift to bring happiness and joy to people. But what will you do now? What will you do with that fame and that money?
Joe's music received fantastic reviews, and Joe wasn't hungry or lonely anymore. However, hardship fell on the shepherds. The rains didn't come as expected, and the shepherds' crops had failed for several years. They became hungry. The shoe was on the other foot now.
We need to get help from somewhere. We have virtually no food left.
But there's no one around. Have any food? Who's going to help us?
Have you seen this?
What? What is it?
There's a review of the concert hall. There's a review of the concert at the Albert Hall. And it says that the musician does lots of charity work and helps the poor now that he's rich and famous.
That's our answer then.
Yes, let's ask for help.
That's not very likely. Why would he help us? I suppose it's worth a try.
The shepherds started to discuss what they should do. How they could persuade the rich singer to help them? Should they beg or demand money now he was famous? Joe recognises the people approaching him, but waits to see what they say without acknowledging them. He was desperate to know how his family are, especially his father.
We've come to ask for help.
We read the newspaper about your charity work and how you like to help the poor.
Our crops have been failing for several years, and we are on the verge of starvation. Tell me first while I consider your request. Do you have a father or any other siblings?
Yeah, we have an elderly father.
And one other younger brother who stayed at home with him?
If you want my help and food, you must bring your brother. You must bring your youngest brother to me.
But our father loves him so much. We just couldn't bring him here. It would break his heart.
Joseph is overwhelmed with emotion to hear that his father is still alive. She could barely contain herself.
Brothers, sisters, it's me, Jo. It's so wonderful to see you. I never thought I'd see you again. Bring Father and everyone here so we can all live together again. And you will no longer be hungry and no longer be alone.
And so our story ends with the family being reunited. What a happy day. Well, thank you for watching our service today. We hope you enjoyed it. And I'll just hand it to Emma.
Thank you. Right. Well, we just catch our breath. I wanted to just round it all up because we've heard a couple of nice stories, Bible stories. Some of us believe they're true. Some of us think Bible stories are nice, just stories to listen to. But what happened in both of those stories was that God spoke to people. God interacted with them. God changed people's lives. And sometimes maybe we don't think that happens so much anymore. Those are things that happen in Bible times. We don't hear people having dreams and visions or, like last week, lights on the road to Damascus changing people's lives. But it does still happen. I'm going to tell you a story about something that happened to me on Friday. And I think this is one of the ways that God talks to people these days. Now, it's different to Bible times because life's different to Bible times. But this week, I had some sad news. A friend of a friend had died. And on Friday, I went to visit this friend. We hugged and we talked and we cried. And it was very difficult. And then I had to go to work afterwards. Couldn't really concentrate. Quite a distracted morning. So at lunchtime, I thought I'd just go for a run. Just clear my head and get out. After a couple of miles, I could barely run because you can't run when you're crying because you can't breathe. So there I am, walking down the road crying like an idiot. And I wasn't very far away from those workmen that were on Histon Road, so I pulled myself together before I got to them. Now, those of us that know or have stereotypical views of workmen will be very surprised that by the time I'd pulled myself together and I was jogging again, walking, going past the workmen, two of them stopped and said really kind things. Not jokey things, not rude things, the kind of things that often get shouted when you run past workmen, but truly kind words. And that was a real surprise. It's just what I needed to hear. But then, it just gets better. There was traffic, noise, lots of it. And for a few seconds, after I'd gone past the workmen, for a few seconds, there wasn't a single car. It was completely silent. And the song, the words in that fraction of the seconds while it was quiet, the words that played were, "Jesus has conquered the grave." Now, what are the chances that at that moment of silence, those were the words of the song that were going in that second? And I was absolutely covered in goosebumps from hearing those words at that moment when I needed to hear them. And I'd spent the whole morning thinking about people who died and what that meant to all of us. So although, yes, we might not get God's voice shouting to us in the middle of the night. He does speak to us. And sometimes it's in that quietness. And there's some stories in the Bible about wind and gentleness and calm when Jesus talks. God talks. So I just wanted to share that with you, that this has all been fun, and it's not just about Bible stories, it's about real life, it's about people today. So, on that note, I hope you've engaged somehow with what we've done this morning and taken something for yourself away, and please do stay for refreshments and to chat and to spend some time in fellowship. Thank you. Okay. And well done to all the young people. Well done.